Hello, hello everybody, and welcome back to yet another episode of Tell Me Why You're Special. This, you guys know, is not the highlight reel podcast. This is the arena. This is where creators, writers, founders, and the barely holding it together but still showing up kind of humans get a chance on the mic. You can pitch your book, your podcast, your product, or tell us why you should have one. We're talking about how your mess has turned into a message, how you kept moving forward while getting your ass kicked, and what it actually looks like to build something meaningful when you don't have it all figured out yet. So, we don't do fake confidence here, no filler stuff, just real people, real courage, and real momentum. So, if you are in the arena, bruised, bold, and still standing, this is your room. And today, my guest in the hot seat today is going to be Jim Marshall. So, Jim Marshall, welcome to Tell Me Why You Are Special.
Thank you, Brandon. I'll be happy to tell you why.
Awesome. Well, let's start with this. Let's start with this elevator pitch. You're in an elevator with someone who needs what you do, needs what you do, what you have, but they don't know it yet. So you have the 30 seconds. Who do you help? How do you help them? And why are we choosing you, not anyone else, to do something similar?
Okay. Obviously, that's several different questions,
Yeah.
but I'll try to answer them all comprehensively. I have created an entirely new subject by myself from nothing with no assistance. I'm the discoverer of hitherto unknown natural phenomena, which greatly aid in the understanding of people, from which I crafted a revolutionary practical philosophic system called Septemics and published it in the book Septemics: Hierarchies of Human Phenomena.
Okay.
Septemics is a philosophical science based on the fact that many phenomena related to humans occur in a sequence of seven levels. Literally, the word septemics means of or pertaining to seven. Septemics comprises a collection of scales or sequences, each of which breaks down some human area of human phenomena into a hierarchy of seven steps. There are 35 such scales, each of which is unique. And between them, they span the spectrum of human experience, by which I mean any problem, dilemma, situation, difficulty that any person has regarding people can successfully be analyzed by one or more of these scales, usually more than one.
Okay. How do we use that in the practical world? Like, how could everyday Joe, someone's listening to this and they're going to be like, what do I do with all this? Like, how is this going to help me? How does it move the needle for my potential?
This is extremely user-friendly. I went out of my way to make it that way. People have been using this now for 30 years, so I've been watching people use this. When someone first contacts this subject, like for example, he's in a bookstore, he sees this book, Septemics, he says, "What the hell is this?" He looks at it. His reaction is going to be something like, "Oh, this makes sense." And then after he worked with it for a while, his reaction is going to be something like, "Wow, this is big." That is what they tell me. Let me give you an example.
Okay.
Let's say you have a garden.
Okay.
I'm into gardening. You say, "Jim, come over and look at my garden." I say, "Okay." So I show up at Brandon's house and I walk in the garden and I see hydrangeas, irises, forget-me-nots, tulips, roses, begonias. Now, the reason I can analyze it that way is that I know a lot about flowers. If you bring some little girl, let's say a five-year-old girl, into your garden, same day, she will see and smell exactly what I saw and smelled. But all she can say is, "These are pretty and they smell nice."
Okay.
That's all she knows. Most adults are like that little girl regarding people. They don't know what they're looking at.
So, like working with people, like interacting with people,
Yes.
selling to people. Okay.
Yes. So, for example, Let's say you have a guy, Friday comes, he gets all dressed up in his best suit. He goes out to a nice bar to meet a young lady, right? And he meets a woman and they're at the bar, he buys her a drink and they're having a nice little conversation. And he thinks to himself, boy, she's pretty and she smells nice. That's the same thing the little kid just said about your garden.
Right.
This guy doesn't know anything about this woman. He has no idea what he's getting himself into. Now, if he had this material, he could analyze her against some of these scales, and he might get a high level and he might get a low level, but he's going to get something. So this really helps people. So, for example, I'm a single guy. A year ago, I met this gorgeous blonde, and we were very interested in one another. We were going through the usual getting to know you stuff. So we had five or six conversations. What kind of restaurants do you like? What music do you listen to? Who's your favorite singer? Blah, blah, blah. So we're having this conversation, and I noticed that she was low on one of these scales. I didn't say anything. I just noted it. And so then we had another conversation a few days later, a similar type of a conversation, and I noticed she was low on another scale. Okay.
Give us like a detail. Like, what would you notice that she's low on? Like,
Could be any
what your scale
one
is?
of the 35 scales. Like, for example, the scale of control.
Okay.
Level on the scale of control is what is commonly referred to as a control freak.
Okay. So if she's
If
low on the
not,
scale of control, she's a control freak.
right. If she's
And
at that level, if she's
that was
at that
something you notice in her in this date.
level. Not specifically for her, I'm just giving you an
Oh,
example,
okay.
something you might see. So then we had another conversation, and I noticed, oh, she's low on this other scale. Now the light bulb is going on above my head. And I'm thinking, wait a minute. I barely know this woman, and I have already determined that she's at or near the bottom of three different scales, which tells me from knowing this subject intimately, she's probably at the bottom of 12 or 15 or 18 scales. You see, if I kept looking.
Okay.
So I said, whoa, I'm not going to do this because the people at the bottom of the scales are the ones who cause all the trouble. And if you read the book, that's patently obvious.
Okay.
I'm just putting it into a very specific structure.
Yeah.
So next time I saw her, I said, you're a very nice person, but pass. No thanks.
Yeah.
She was shocked. You know why she was shocked? She was so gorgeous and glamorous and congenial. I'm sure that's the first time that ever happened to her in her life that a guy did that to her because we didn't have a fight. We didn't have a disagreement. Everything was very nice. I could just see that this was a person who was going to be low on a lot of these scales, and that's somebody who's going to give me trouble. And I don't want that.
Right.
Now, most guys would have jumped right ahead with both feet and had a train wreck. Whether it took a month, 2 months, 3 months, 6 months, that's what would have happened.
Yeah.
So, by bowing out gracefully and politely, think about this. Think about all the money I saved, all the $100 dinners I didn't have to buy. Think about all the time I spent going out on dates with somebody who was going to go nowhere. Think about all the aggravation I saved myself that would have happened if we went forward. Because she's at or near the bottom of these scales.
Yeah.
So I have to tell you, this is natural law in the same way that the Pythagorean theorem is natural law, in the same way that Newton's three laws of motion are natural law. There's no theory of septemics. This was discovered empirically as a result of my career. And let me tell you how that occurred, because that really explains a lot.
Of course.
So the story starts when I was accepted into engineering school at age 16. And of course, at the time, I thought, as did all the other engineering students, that was going to be engineering physical things like airfoils, motors, electrons, and so forth. But by the time I had my bachelor's degree, it was clear to me that I wanted to engineer the human psyche. Because it is the area of greatest unknown, of greatest mystery, and more importantly, it is the area in which we as a race are failing miserably. 95% of the problems in industrialized society are because people don't understand people. That's why More than 50% of the people who get married in the United States get divorced. Clearly, these two people did not understand one another. If they did, either they wouldn't have gotten married or they would have lived happily ever after. But that's not what happened. See? So this is a huge problem. Now, if you actually talk to people, they'll realize, yes, this is true. Like, for example, if you talk to most guys and they tell you the truth, they'll say, "I don't understand women. I love my wife, but I don't understand what she does. I
Right.
don't know why she said that, why she said that." He's smart enough to keep his mouth shut and just go along. So the point is that more than 95% of people do not understand people.
Yeah.
And this book solves that problem across 35 axes, meaning you have 35 ways of evaluating the person. Every person is at some level on every scale. There are no exceptions. It's like your blood pressure.
Yeah.
You end and have a blood pressure. I don't know what it is, but when you go to a doctor, it doesn't matter whether you have an earache, your nose is running, your knee hurts, they're going to take your blood pressure. You know why? They know you have it and they don't know what it is.
Yeah.
That's what this is like. It's like getting the person's blood pressure, but it's across 35 axes. Now, let me tell you what those axes are, because that will really open your mind to what are we really talking about here? Okay? Of
Absolutely.
the 35 scales, 24 of them are individual scales, meaning they apply to an individual, and 11 of them apply to groups. These are the individual scales: the scale of basic purposes, the scale of personal influence, the scale of choice, the scale of permeation, the scale of thought, the scale of identity, the scale of evaluation, the scale of motivation, the scale of control, the scale of scholarship, the scale of stopping, the scale of literacy, the scale of human ability, the scale of memory, the scale of spiritual identity, the scale of mental deletion, the scale of aberration, the scale of physical fitness, the scale of justification, the scale of belief, the scale of equanimity, the scale of attack, the scale of conflict, and the scale of reaction. And these are the group scales: the scale of relationships, the scale of life spheres, the scale of government, the scale of civilization, the scale of survival, the scale of management, the scale of exchange, the scale of communication, the scale of allegiance, the scale of sexuality, and the scale of politics. Any one of these scales by itself could dramatically improve your life. I'll give you a simple example. I mentioned motivation. One of the most important things to know about a person is the person's motivation. Why is this person doing this? Right? So you're standing at a bus stop and some guy comes over and starts talking to you. You immediately think, "I wonder what this guy wants. Did you want money? Did you want a date? Did you want information about the bus?" See, you're looking for his motive. We all do this. Now, I did the heavy lifting in getting it down to the seven basic human motivations. Now, you might say, "Well, there are thousands of motivations, but they're just subsets of these."
Okay.
Understand these are broad enough. Now, the fact that it's only seven is very helpful to you because you're only choosing from a menu of seven, which is not hard to do. So you could ask yourself, what's my mother's motivation toward me? What's my father's motivation toward me? What's my boyfriend's motivation toward me? What's my next door neighbor's motivation toward me? Et cetera, et cetera. For every person you know or have ever known. And every time you get a correct answer, you will have an insight. You'll say, "Oh, that's my mother's motivation. Now I understand why she acts like that. That explains why when I say A, she says B. And when I say C, she says D." So you're having an insight. So your relationship with her just got better. So you could also reverse the vector and say, "What's my motivation toward Joe? What's my motivation toward my sister? What's my motivation toward my pastor?" Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And do all those. Now, depending on how many people you know and how much time you want to put into this, by the time you finish this exercise, you might have had something like 500 insights, one for each person you spotted. So your understanding of motivation in general is greatly enhanced. And your mental clarity is greatly improved because there's no question about it. It's clear. It's like, This is a chrysanthemum and this is a tulip. It's a fact that it's a chrysanthemum. Now, you may not know what a chrysanthemum looks like or know the name, but it's not an opinion. It's a fact. So, let's say you're dating some guy for 3 years and you're thinking about getting married. Isn't that a big step? Wouldn't it be smart to ask, why does this guy want to marry me? I mean, isn't that a reasonable question?
Sure.
I'm not saying to ask the guy because you don't know what you're going to get. Just look in the book. There's only seven choices. You know the guy because you've been hanging around with him for 3 years.
Yeah.
And this book is very precise and specific. A person at level one does this, pop, 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 pop. A person at level two does this, pop, 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 pop. So you go down, oh, I see. He wants to marry me because he loves me. That's level one. Let's set the date. The highest motivation of all is love.
Okay.
But maybe that doesn't happen. Maybe what happens is, after you think about this for a while, you say, you know, now I'm coming to realize this guy wants to marry me because I drive a Lamborghini, I have a 60-foot yacht, I fly my own Learjet, I live in a $10 million condo, and have $5 million in the bank. That's a different motivation. That's money level four. I'm not saying it's good or bad, it's just what it is. Now, what you do about that is up to you. That has nothing to do with me. You might say, well, okay. This is not the first guy who wanted to marry me for my money, but this guy is handsome, clever, amusing, smart, educated, congenial. So I'm going to marry him anyway. And you might live happily ever after, knowing his motivation. But maybe that's not what happens. Maybe what happens is maybe you're the type of woman who thinks, you know, I want to marry somebody who loves me for myself. Not for my Lamborghini or my yacht. So you break up with them. Now, in that latter category, don't think you'd be upset about that. You would not. You'd be relieved. You'd say to yourself, thank God I figured this out now.
Yeah.
So you have to realize, regardless of what level you spot a person at, whether it's yourself or another, it's always a positive experience. Because it's an enlightenment. So it's not like you say, oh, this guy's at a low level. Oh, I feel bad. I'm bummed out. That's not what happens. You say, ah, now I see what was going on. We had that disagreement. See? So when you go forward now looking for a guy, a different guy, you're a little smarter. Maybe you don't mention your Lamborghini at all because you want to see if he really likes you. See? So this is very useful. And this goes across 35 axes. There are 35 different scales. Every person is at some level on every scale. So let's say you have a spouse. I would recommend that you spot your spouse on every single scale. Where is he on this scale? Where is he on this scale? Where is he on this scale? Where is he on this? And by the time you finish that exercise, it would take some time. You would understand him better than he understands himself. I promise you.
Yeah.
I've been watching people do this for 30 years. That's what happens. Now, and then you have to realize fewer than 1% of the population is at or near the top of all the scales. I don't know how few it is, half of a percent, a third of a percent. It's very small. A larger percentage is at or near the bottom of the scales, maybe 4%. Those would be like professional criminals, terrorists, meth-eaters, alcoholics, drug addicts, corrupt politicians. You know, they're at or near the bottom of these scales. That's why they like that. So most people are high in some scales and low in others. That's normally what you find. So you might find this guy who's high on, let's just say he's at or near the top of 12 scales. That's pretty good. In general, across the demographics. So these other scales, he's a little bit low, but you know what they are. So when he gets into one of these things, you say, oh, here he goes. He's at this lower level. He's doing this thing. That's okay. And you can just tiptoe right around it. So it preserves the relationship.
Yeah.
So you have to realize, not every scale is relevant to every person or every context. For example, I have a person who cleans my house. Does a very good job. I pay him well. He follows my instructions, no problem. This is not an educated person. This is not somebody who I can discuss Schopenhauer with. See? But I'm not going to do that. That's not why I'm hiring him. But on the scale of human ability as a housekeeper, he's at high level. He's probably at level three, which is expert.
Yeah.
He knows exactly what he's doing. Brrr, done. I don't have to tell him. So that's all I need from him. So, that's if I were hiring somebody to edit a book for me,
Yeah.
he would have to be high on the scale of literacy. But if I'm hiring a gardener, does he have to be high on the scale of literacy? No, it's
Right.
not relevant. So that's how you use this. You use it in a relevant way.
Okay.
So, if you're having any kind of a problem with anybody, find the relevant scale. You might not get it on the first guess. Find the relevant scale and then spot where that person is on that scale. Like you might say, let's see where this guy is on the scale of thought. See? And you go down it and say, well, I can see he's at that level, but it doesn't make too much difference to a relationship. Let's see where he is on the scale of spiritual identity. Oh, I see. That's a big difference. I'm at level four, he's at level five. That is a conflict. See, that could be a reason why this is not going to last. So you don't have to spot every person on every scale. But if you're close to anyone, that's what you should do.
Yeah.
Because once you have the book, that's all you need. You don't need to take a course. You don't need to hire a facilitator. You don't need to go to a therapist. You don't need to join a religion. Blah, 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 blah. You don't need any of that stuff. Because I went out of my way to write this book in such a way that an intelligent woman like you will read this book and say, yeah, this makes sense. I can see now my grandfather is at level three on this scale. That explains why he did this and this and this. And that helps you. Now, you may not be able to change that person, although sometimes you can, but you understand the person now.
Right.
And I'll give you a perfect example. I'm from New York City. I grew up with Donald Trump ever present. He was like the Prince of New York. I don't know if you know that. The mayors would come and go, the aldermen would come and go, the councilman would come, but Donald Trump was always there until recently, until he went to Florida. So I understood him very well. Then, when this book came out, boy, can I predict him?
Yeah.
I know where he is on the scale of basic purposes. I'm not going to tell you because that would be unethical and counterproductive. You can figure it out yourself. You don't need me to tell you that. It's like I spot a tulip. If you spot a tulip, you're going to say, yeah, it's a tulip. That's how easy this is to use. Getting back to how I found this. So, I had a long career as a human development engineer where I used engineering tactics, engineering strategies, engineering devices, engineering procedures, engineering approaches, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, to help the client to attain higher levels of equanimity, responsibility, spirituality, control, whatever the person wanted. See? All of my clients improved as a result of our interaction. But incidentally, I started to notice that I could predict the outcome of the session. I never told that to anyone until very recently when I started doing these interviews.
Yeah.
But I wrote it down. I wrote down what I saw. So I would see that this guy is at this certain level. In other words, he's manifesting this thing. And it's something I've seen before. And then he would go up to the next level on that scale, exactly as the scale predicted, even though he didn't know the scale. Now, that happened many thousands of times over a 40-year period. I'm going to estimate maybe 8,000, 9,000 times
Wow.
where I saw this right in front of my face. Then you have to realize the session ends, I go out and I go shopping at Walmart, right? So I'm standing there and I'm looking at two women. I don't even know them. They're 10 feet away and they're talking. and I can see the same phenomena, the same septemic phenomena. They are manifesting it. Just like every chrysanthemum in the world is unique, but I can always spot one. So that just verified it. Every time I saw this in session, it verified my hypothesis because the clients knew absolutely nothing about how I was doing what I was doing. They didn't know what I was thinking. They didn't know what biofeedback I was looking at. What they knew was they came into me with something that was of concern to them. And I got them to a better place with it. And they had a realization about that and were happy. So then, by 1995, I had simply observed and recorded 32 scales. Nobody else knew anything about this. So I have this one scale at the time, it was a six-level scale that I had been using for decades. So I had this difficult client. And I was trying to assess this client against this scale. In other words, where is this client on this scale? Because everybody's on every scale. I couldn't find an answer. Then I realized, wait a minute. This scale has a seventh level. I just never saw this before. This was a phenomenon I had never observed. So as soon as I saw what it was, I understood the client perfectly, retroactively and going forward. And it definitely helped me to understand what to do with this person. But also, I was able to see where it fitted in the scale. In other words, I knew immediately where to insert it. When I inserted the seventh level into the sixth level scale, at that moment, this was something that happened in a second. The scale went from being a line, which is what a scale is, to a plane, meaning a whole body of data. And all of these interlocking, intersecting, interacting phenomena jumped out at me. Now, for those of you who may not know, that is what mathematics is. You start with a formula or an equation, and you coax data out of it, and you get down to something useful. That is exactly how Einstein found E equals mc squared, the most famous formula in the world, by that exact process. So I looked at this and I said, whoa, whatever the hell this thing is that I'm looking at, it has to be natural law because it has mathematics embedded in it. Because when I saw all of these other dimensions to it, each verified the other. This is something you get in mathematics where no matter how you look at it, it's going to be true. This is what we do when we prove geometric formulae. Like they give you something in geometry and they say, prove it. That's like the most advanced level of geometry. And you can do it because you know these factors. You know these certain things are true, and you put them together, and you can prove that this thing, this proposition is true. So at that moment, I said, whoa, I found something. Because I had gone to school for 28 years and was an honor and scholarship student at every level, and I never saw anything like this. But then I thought, wait a minute. I wonder how many of these other scales that I have are actually seven-level scales that had not been developed all the way, like this one was. So now, knowing what I was looking for, I studied all the other scales, and in a short period of time, each of them went to seven levels. And when it did, it manifested mathematically. So now I had 32 seven-level scales, each of which had mathematics embedded in it. That corresponded to the 35, actually at the time it was 32, 32 subjects that I mentioned earlier. There are 35 now because I found three later as I was working on the book. So then I said, whoa, I could go from helping people by the hundreds, which is what I had been doing as human development engineer, to helping people by the millions if I put this in a book and get it out so people can have it and use it. So I'm going to have to write a book.
That's fabulous. And
So the first draft was finished in December of 95.
nice.
Did you want to say something?
I want to know where people can find the book.
Okay.
Now, how can they connect with you? How can they find the book?
I invite your viewers to my website, which is septemics.com, SEPTMICS, where you can see what many readers have said about it, what many journalists have written about it, what the reviews are. You can read sections of the book itself, and there's even a pre-recorded audio introduction to septemics that you can listen to that explains it to a new person in 15 minutes.
That is fabulous.
If you do all of that, you're going to buy the book.
Yeah.
Available hardbound, softbound, and ebook. And what people keep telling me is it blows their mind
That's
because it opens up your mind to things you never thought about before.
yeah.
Oh, I never thought about that. No wonder I couldn't get along with Gertrude when we dated in college, you
Yeah.
know? So that's what I invite them to do. And it's a very easy book to find. It's just type septemics into a search engine and you'll get a million people who sell the book.
Yep, I will make sure it is in the show notes for you guys. So make sure you get resourced. I'll put where you can find Jim Marshall and all the things. Jim, thank you so much today for sitting in the hot seat and filling us in on all of this. I know I'm definitely going to be checking out the website. So thank you so much today.
Thank you, Brandon. It was a
Yeah.
pleasure.
And just let you guys know, listen, you are not behind, you are not broken, you are not missing some secret ingredient that everyone else got handed at birth. Everything that you have ever needed to build, to heal, to speak, to invent, or to lead is already inside of you. And what I need you to know today is that your story matters, not when it's like pretty and perfect, okay? Right now, in this moment, it matters. Your healing is worth the work that it's asking of you. Your forward momentum, when it's quiet and uncelebrated, is still momentum, okay? And choosing to be vulnerable to say, this is who I am and this is what I'm building, that is not weakness, that is courage, that is leadership, and it is worth the price, okay? So if something in you is stirring today, if you know you're meant for more and you're done hiding, please stay here. Make sure you subscribe to the show, follow it, leave a review. Written review is the best so other people can have access as well. Subscribe, stay in the story, and when it's your turn, step into the arena and tell us why you are special. Thanks again so much for your time today, Jim.
Thanks, Brandon.